We're now joined by Mike Tenuri. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Hey, Mike, thanks for being with us. You know, there's been a lot of rainfall across the bulk of the Corn Belt. However, there are some dry areas. Can you put it all into context for me?
Well, if you look at the state of Missouri, that's pretty much where the dryness has been centered over the last couple of weeks and going back a couple of months. Western Illinois is included in some of that. But for the most part, the state of Illinois and most of the Corn Belt has been seeing fairly wet conditions over the last 30 days. So although Missouri is kind of at the epicenter of a bit of a dryness problem, it's not very representative of the Midwest as a whole.
So tell me about this as we look then into the month of July. What does it mean?
Well, it doesn't tell us a whole lot. The only thing that we know for sure is that June will end up being wetter than normal compared to average. And if you look at some of the wettest Junes on record, and by that we're just basically looking at any June that was even a tenth of an inch wetter than normal since 1960. So we're not talking about super wet years, but any year that just was a little bit wetter than normal, we have 23 observations of that going back to 1960. The fascinating thing is that if you look at U.S. corn yields in those 23 wet Junes, surprisingly, only 10 of them produced an above-trend U.S. corn yield. You would think the number would be much higher than that, but it was only 10. And if you dig even deeper into it, you see that all of those 10 had temperatures that were at or much below normal in July, all 10 times. And in August, those same years were at or below normal for temperatures in August, 9 of 10 times. That tells us that you cannot have a widespread major heat wave last for an appreciable amount of time in either July or August and expect to have an above trend yield, even when it's wet at this time of the year in June.
You know, about a month and a half ago, you and I had a conversation as it relates to the very cold April and the very warm May and what that meant for the summer months. Can you tell me more about how that all works today?
Well, if you look at temperatures in April, it was the second coldest in 124 years across the Corn Belt. And that was immediately followed by the warmest May on record in 124 years. But if we dig in and look at all the data, we don't see a lot of hints there of what that means for July and August. That those indicators didn't correlate super well to what we might see later. And that's why we're kind of taking a different angle on this right now. The newest piece of information we have is that we know June is going to end up wetter than normal just based on the rainfall we've had over the last few weeks. And knowing that another 1 to 3 inches is on the way through Wednesday or Thursday of next week. And that's where the correlations start to stick a little bit better, because you can just isolate out your corn yields and see that any prolonged periods of heat in July or August would have an impact on corn yields. And that's because that's more of a direct function of what the crop is going to be affected by. And we can see that even though it's been wet in June, it just doesn't mean that we've escaped a problem here if it turns out to be hot next month.
Hey, Mike, thanks so much. That's Mike Tenuri. He is with T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.